I'd like to call a workshop meeting of the City Council, City of Short Acres to order on Monday, September 30th, 2013 at 6 p.m. First order of business of roll call.
Mike Wheeler, present.
Rick Moses, present.
Matt Weber, present.
Paul Bunker, present.
Nancy Snell, present.
Stephen Jones, present.
Next order of business is item 2.0, workshop 2.1, discussion consideration to amend the proposed of the general fund and utility fund operating budgets for fiscal year 2013-2014. Obviously convened our last council meeting to come here to discuss and potentially make amendments to the budget. One of the things that I wanted to do prior to getting the discussion started was make available to council a number of communications to myself and from what I see are also courtesy copies to council members, but I don't know if everyone received all of the same things that I have, and I want to make these available to council for your review. I also received a phone call or two, and I had included some of that information in the packet. I have not excluded any communication. All of the communications.
Just take a copy and pass it.
That is the only set of copies that I have. So if you want to review them, you may have seen them already. I've seen, but I don't know if everyone has been privy to all of the communication, and I wanted to make sure that all council members were privy to that information. So with that being said, the item up before us is discussion of budget items. I'm not certain how we want to handle this, but I'd like to do it in as orderly and efficient a manner as possible. We had discussed at our last meeting a line-by-line approach, but that seems to be a bit problematic, so I'm certainly open to suggestions on how we'd like to proceed from this point.
I'll start. I mean, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're here for y'all.
I spent a lot of time going through this multiple times. I met with department heads with the city. I met with David Stahl, the chief, David Sutton. I talked to other city administrators. I talked to the police chiefs, mechanics, and I've knocked a pretty good chunk off of this. I'm in somewhere in the neighborhood of $300,000 that I've knocked off of it. And in meeting with the folks, I kind of tried to get some buy-in from them to own the budget. This is their budget. They can help us help the city, and they all bought into it to the man. They all thanked me for asking them and for going over it with them, and all bought into it. I've got some. It's just a line item of what I. The line items that I've changed. I didn't want to cripple the city, but at the same token, I didn't want to stop progress. I just wanted to try to eliminate some of the fluff, as it were. I didn't want to cripple the city or stop the progress of some of the projects that are ongoing, but I feel good about the savings. If you want to take a look at them, I mean, it's eliminated the clerk position. And the numbers for the salaries and things I got from David Saul with the ripple down effect from insurance and things like that. But I eliminated the clerk position. I dropped some money from the maintenance on the buildings and office equipment, postage. You know, the legal fees are reduced by $10,000. Outside services, which I think was
both these numbers are here, or the amount that you
that I've reduced the
okay.
Yes. Dave, I can't read my chicken scratch. What was that I cut from there?
Your sheet says, are we on legal fees or outside services?
The outside services.
And you have here 10,000 out, and
it says snake and dwarf and something on my sheet, but I can't read it. I've scratched and rewrote things out so many times, I can't read it anymore. But
well, it was 20, and I think it was 20, and it would make it 10.
Yes, yes.
So it's cut in half.
Yeah. The judge retainer, the police department, not replacing the officer that's resigning. The maintenance on the building, I took out 2,000. Cell phone and stuff, and the radio airtime, that's kind of a ripple down. From the officer, maintenance of supplies and the parts department. Now you notice I left the police cars in. And I did that after talking to several different people. I talked to Dream Mechanics and the chief here, a couple of other chief of police in different cities. And the first thing the mechanics all said was, what kind of cars are they? And I said, well, this rotation is Dodge Charger. They said, get rid of Dodge Charger. But after that, you may be able to go on a 3-year deal, depending on the warranty, if you were to get a 100,000-mile warranty, those kinds of things. But they all said to a man, get rid of the Dodge Charger. We're just asking for more problems in the big picture that will come back and bite us, even though we're trying to save money here. Could potentially, through maintenance and repairs on them, and then losing the wholesale value of them after the third year.
Yeah.
So I left the police cars in.
Okay.
It's on the building. Public Works Department. Nothing really big there. The storm drainage. Is road repair and storm drainage, and those are issues that whenever I was asking, speaking with David about them, it was more of a, you know, how far along are we? I know we've had a lot of repairs because of different issues with the street repairs and the street, and I just felt like that we could trim some back there without hurting anybody or hurting anything as far as progress. Facilities I reduced by 10. I believe that's for the pad. Figured that we could take 10,000 instead of the 20 and just do what we can with the 10 so they're not in a mud pit back there. I left the Friends of Heron's Park in because of the progress that's been made with that, and it I've got several requests to please don't park the parks. I think the Friends of Aaron Park was $2,400, I think. Yeah, $2,400.
Can I ask a question on parks? Have we, the city commitments that we've made to parks for going to be reimbursed, and have we met all those obligations? I mean, did we have any obligations? I heard like a park bench should be reimbursed for, and I just wanted to make sure that we were actually doing that.
On 6245, there's $20,000 in it. $12,000 of that is for a park bench or something, or playground equipment. I took $8,000 out for the pea gravel, or for the rubber.
Right, replacing that. We have a bench that we've that's on order. Pardon?
Do we owe parks or anybody $1,000 for okay, somebody had mentioned it. I was just, I'm not trying to sidetrack here, but just make sure if we owe somebody that we kind of cleared our books internally.
Yeah, no, we had budgeted in this year to purchase another one of the expanded metal coated picnic benches, and that's been on order for a while, and we freighted here from Colorado, and it's just short of $1,000 for that bench. Mm-hmm. And that's the one Howard Ball had talked about previously.
Right.
If that's what you're thinking of.
That's he's the one that mentioned it.
Yeah,
it sounded like we owed him money or something. But I'll take it up separately. I don't want to sidetrack too much. My intent was just to make sure if we say we're supporting the parks that we actually are.
Yes, sir.
Well, if you look at it, you'll see it was $20,750 with $750 coming from that picnic bench, $12,000 coming for some playground equipment, and the $8,000 coming from to put the rubber mulch type stuff down. So I took the $8,000 out for the rubber mulch. Yeah. I've been playing on that, but the equipment's kind of dangerous. We've been spending a lot of money putting band-aids on it. Let's see, I think that was noteworthy-wise. The utility fund, the biggest, couple of big things on it. 6245.70 supplies general. We reduced it from 60,000 down to 30. I did $75,000 off the 6902 water facilities, or 6902 facilities water distribution. That's the storm drain, or the water main running from where the grant stops down to,
that's a good song.
Yeah. Where the grant money stops to take it further down and then to the yacht club.
Mm-hmm.
I left 75 in just so we don't stop the progress that we've made going that far already. And that is one of our biggest liabilities from a fire standpoint, the yacht club. And I didn't want to stop any progress that we've made because we've come a long way. But I just wanted to trim some back. And speaking with Mr. Sutton, obviously he wanted to keep going, but could certainly work with the money that was left in it to continue the progress. The $30,000 was for, more, what was that, 62?
62.570.
More supplies for water main repairs, and that was coming more from a standpoint of the bulk of construction. He expressed a little concern about cutting that down so much, just because of the fact that when they get the water plan on, he's expecting more breakage. But other than that, he was okay with it. He would like to see a little more in there just to be on the safe side.
Everybody would,
yeah,
if they could, right? We all would.
But and I trimmed some of the contingency down. But you know, that total comes to $315,728.46. And again, I think it's important that we try to get as much down as low as we possibly can go. But I also think we don't want to cripple the city. We don't want to stop the progress that from the things we've done. We are not a city of 2008 or 2007 anymore. We've done a lot of work, mm-hmm. and I'd hate to see that stop, especially in trying to become the city of choice and draw people in. We need to have things like nice streets and drainage and things like that. So that's what I've done.
This is good work. Good job.
Question on 6110. Which position is that, on that clerk position? Whose position is that?
That was the vacant position. We had already talked about that last Monday night at $32,000. I'm not sure where the other $6,000 came from.
Compensation package, overtime probably, that's not going to happen.
That's why I was so confused, because on the 13-14 payroll budget, for general fund administrative clerk, vacant, the employee cost per year on this that we were given is $44,887.48. So, curious where that $4,000 and some changes. And then just a point of clarification with Officer Thompson. And Chief Matthew has not gotten back to me just yet. Now, he resigned full time, but he asked Chief Matthew if he could stay on part time to continue to be the training officer. He does all of our training, and that was amenable to Chief. Now, I don't know if that means 1040 instead of 2080 with no benefits. I don't know.
I spoke with the chief about that, and spoke with David about that, and Chief said that you're not going to be like a, for lack of a better term, full-time, part-time. He's going to be like the $5,000 a year deal, and that should be
the same part-time position Mike High carried.
Right.
Okay.
Lowering, basically. That's.
And we actually have a place that was already open for that under our part-time. We had a vacant part-time budgeted in for.
That was my position.
That was you. Okay. So you have Finley, Ford, Count D, and then Thompson.
Right.
And I have something really nice too, because my computer told me fatal system error. And the IT guy at work laughed at it. We're going back here.
Blue screen of death?
Oh, it was worse than that. It was the black box matrix screen of death.
Can you do me a favor and look on yours and see what this one is?
6880?
That's a utility fund. It's probably UF3-ish. It's water department.
6880 is the vehicle?
Yeah. What was in the budget before?
20.
Okay, so you're removing it entirely?
Well, you know, yeah, it's gone entirely. That okay. Another thing just, that
it said reduce, and yeah, so I was I'm confused.
Yeah. Reduce significantly.
That's pretty significant.
I mean, it obviously, you know, he hated, don't want to see the whole thing go. But, you know, I was, again, trying to do as much as I could. I thought about $10,000 or something for something used, or, you know, $7,000, $8,000 for a mule or some kind. I mean, you know, this is not do it this way or don't do it at all. This is just a suggestion.
Well, what I like about this is you've gone to the department heads who submitted their original budget. They were agreeable to, since we've all decided we're not going to do a deficit spending budget again, that they took that and ran with it and basically gave consent that, okay, we can live with this. You know, you haven't shut us down. You haven't laid anybody off. You know, I like the fact that, you know, you were able to go back to the people that submitted the budget in the first place and said, this won't work. What can you live with? And got it down to
and,
where...
And to a man, they were all
like that
in agreement with it.
That you got the buy-in from the departments. And so nobody's really feels slighted from something like that.
Good point, sir. The 75 reduction, 75,000 off this pipe, could it go further? Why 75 and not, say, 100? I know at some point we're like working our way to a bayou, where then there's a bigger effort to get around that. Is that just a sense? And here's what I'm thinking. So before I'm like, take more. There's potentially 25K there that I'm not necessarily saying take off, but maybe spend in a more visible way. And it could be a meal, or it could be, here's something that's been bothering me for a while, so I'll say it now. The people that cut our grass, whenever I I've had to do with this with my sons, I can tell my sons, go cut the grass, and they'll cut the grass. And to the letter, the grass is cut, but yet the yard doesn't look good. You know what I mean? It's like, and so I'm teaching my kids, take care of the yard, take care of the job, do what it takes for something to look good. And that'll involve cutting the grass, and it'll also involve blowing or going, you know, not leaving the tufts here and there. I'm noticing when I drive up and down Schroeder's Boulevard, grass will get cut, yet we've got grass coming through concrete, we'll have dirt and things that kind of, it doesn't have this clean feel. And so I'm wondering if maybe we have 25K to spend with somebody that has a different mindset, or we can do things that are more visible.
We'll see.
Cut back further, do something with that.
The result of the contract that we had with the company prior.
We have a new contract
with a different.
Well, we can drive up and down right now, but we've had some construction stuff, and so that kind of. But I'm noticing it even within the last month, and so.
And this was a question that I asked Mr. Stahl. 63-69-40 is contract services, and that's salon service. We know what the price was from the contract. But there was an extra $3,000 or something in it, and I asked why, and he said because of that very reason.
Okay.
To take it in when we have a big outing or a regatta or something like that to help beautify the city, go back and trim the streets where the grass has grown over.
Okay.
I didn't want to take that $3,000 out. Good. I think that's important.
I might want to actually. Seriously, because that's some of the feedback that we're getting, and that's going to help with property values, and we're already, you know.
Well, my original proposal on the water main was to pull 100 out and leave 50 in.
Okay, and
after
the guy
speaking,
freaked.
No, he really didn't. But as I sat down to do it, I just thought, you know, I'll drop it down to 75, see what it does to my numbers. The numbers still looks good at 315, mm-hmm. So I left it at 75 instead of doing 100.
Because we might have 25 there to do something more visible with, and that's what I would. Do you guys have thoughts on something that would help?
Well, you know, this is a good outlay. And, you know, there's definitely, I'm sure, most of us going to have visibles about certain areas. I went to the department heads, spoke to them also. Now, I didn't get as much as Massey's opinion on the vehicles and things, because being an officer here, knowing what the vehicles have done, what they are, I talked to the officers, the ones that actually drive them every day. And, you know, looking at this, you know, if I, you know, where my thinking was going,
just going back to the police department area, and then parts is on the police is actually not doing any new cars this cycle. Yeah, we had gone for two and decided one. Dodge Chargers, they came out to be a flop. However, it's the older 06 models that were the biggest problems. The ones we have now aren't as much of a headache per se or cost problem as before. Well, that knocks that, you know, what is it, 27,000? What are we paying for 21 on the cars?
Yeah, it's about
total 22. We were looking at was like 57,000 on
the if we knock out the two cars this cycle, and the reason I say our cars are less than 50,000 miles. That keep is kept up. You know, we're only, I would say, no doubt, hey, let's definitely change the car. But when you're looking at, you know, the circumference that we have to cover, our cars aren't running, you know, we're not running 110, 120. We're not working interdiction. We're not working truck. We work traffic. But generally, by 70 miles an hour, you're already up on them anyway because they see you coming most of the time. So you figure 146. So they're not getting that stop and go as much. Right. We don't have a lot of domestics. We don't have a lot of calls. So the cars aren't going through the wear and tear they normally would, like a porch, you know, jamming them in and out of gear and things. I think with what we have would suffice for another cycle till the next go around, the budget, and look, okay, do we have one that's in bad shape? Let's get rid of it. Then you just, you know, add it in your $57,000. There's another add-in to what you
want. Well, they're out of warranty now, though, right?
Okay. Most of them are.
No, both the cars are for sale are out of warranty.
Yeah.
They both have been in the shop within the last 14 days.
We just got another bill.
One had to be towed to the shop with a throttle sensor. They're going to be...
And I realize things can happen, you know, but you have to weigh your odds. Do you know, how many vehicles do we have? How many miles do they cover? You know, also, I think, you know, officers could be in tune to treat the cars a little better, keep them cleaner, I will say that.
They got to live with them?
You know,
is that what you're saying, well, if they have to live with them a little longer?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, okay. you know, sure. Treat your vehicle like you treat your house, and might be keep it clean. I mean, you're in it every day, and parents do a lot, too, for our citizens. I mean, we're paying for this. But, I mean, if you really did a good job, I didn't pull this. One thing I didn't do that I wanted, I was going to ask for maintenance and look at compare apples to money to cost, and I didn't do that, and I'm upset with myself I didn't, but I still think by talking to officers that the cars could handle another year, and that's a big savings. And stepping over to Sutton, I went and talked to him, and I asked him, no BS assessment, be honest. Do you need another vehicle? I can live without it. Chunk it. There's another $23,000 back in the budget.
Yeah.
Boom, you're out. You know, and going back to the police department, I got ahead of myself. You have one position available now. Thompson, which is out, so that's deleted. Okay, you know, as much as I hate to say I'm being a brother in blue, but you know, we got Neiman's position, which is I think 30 hours a week.
Yeah, that's already been cut in this budget.
Okay, it's been cut in this one already. Okay,
yep.
So we've got that one, which reduced some already. So you've got one officer out, you got that one there, you're not going to replace him. You get into the Sutton's area. I didn't want to look at any cutting of any employees until you cut everything else, but maybe a possibility to look at one person in his department, just one. But when it comes back to vehicles, you got to need a truck right there. You already said,
yeah. Well, and my original proposal was going to be no new police cars until I started talking to people. Even after I talked to the police, I was still going to leave the police cars out until I talked to the mechanic. So my original deal was, yeah, let's cut the cars until I started doing some research with some of the different mechanics. And it's not just we pull some of that money out. We've got to dump some of it back in for maintenance on these things. The wholesale value goes down tremendously.
Well, and I agree with you.
So, I mean, at some point we may need, and I didn't do it, but a cost effectiveness of keeping them that one more year.
Exactly.
And putting the extra miles on them. I don't know, but... I'm open for anything on that. I just, from the people I've talked to, the experts that I've talked to, they said, get rid of them.
And it's just like in Sutton's position. Now, I know it's been sitting there for probably God knows how long, at least 4 months, the Expedition. You're not going to get anything of that Expedition. Now, Sutton needs a vehicle every now and then. That's where he was looking for a vehicle to go to these meetings and stuff. Why not just recommission the Expedition, give it a tune-up and a new battery, let him operate that vehicle? Why, you know, if you get $3,000 for that thing, we'll be lucky. is already ours. It's paid off. It's still in the insurance, so it's still costing us. Why not give that to them over there? Also, when he's not traveling down the road to the meetings, you know when they're checking the meters? Use the Expo. Besides the little gator, if they have to do, and that Expo can pull little trailers. They need to pull a little trailer around here. I mean, it's already ours. It's not something else we're spending on.
Very good point.
Put it back in the fleet.
Yeah, very
good point.
You know, let's look at what we've got.
Exactly.
Look at our assets and utilize them.
Thank you. And bring them back to the table, you know, and get, with that idea in mind. And going to the judge and the prosecutor. Do we, I know we have a contract with them, correct? Is that a yearly contract or?
No, we just have a.
It's by the yard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an agreement and it's an hourly rate.
Okay. Have we ever shopped them? Is it like that? I mean, have we ever shopped anybody else to do it? So what kind of rate we can get off of them? Never have. And the reason I bring that up is that's one thing. And the other thing is that, you know, looking at our fees, we talk about fees, you know, I hate to say it, but there's been a lot of citizen contacts that were issued citations. Put this the proper way. Those fees have been reduced markedly. Well, that's revenue. Even though we're not supposed to make revenue off that, I understand, but that's still revenue. But, you know, sometimes due to the crime, due to the time, you didn't pay. You know, that financially hurts. Going into code enforcement, when was the last time we looked at our fees on code enforcement?
Well, all of the bench fines were reassessed about a year and a half ago by the judge.
No, I'm talking about for our code for a violation.
The judge does all of that.
Okay.
You
know,
you set through ordinance a minimum, a maximum
right.
in the ordinance. But the
judge will set it.
Yeah. The window fines, which is what you would pay if you don't come to court, are all set by the judge.
We know it's not happening right now for sure because Newman's not here. Code enforcement.
Those are being enforced.
Right now? Okay. Well, that's good.
I have first-hand knowledge of that.
Well, that's good.
Not me.
No. Well, I'm glad.
I
mean,
I got that email or text.
And the reason I say that is I see one of my residents, a lot of things that are should be, and, you know, it's like, nothing's changed. I mean, you get enough fines after a while, you're going to do something. You don't want to keep paying somebody for nothing.
Well, I think those are all, you know, the fines, the code enforcement. You know, I think that there's other things that we need to look at on the revenue side. But, you know, right now, I was just trying to focus on...
No, you had a good point. I'm just saying, when we got...
I like what you did. I took down the same road of thinking that he did as far as the police vehicles. I think we need to take another look at our rotation. You know, you can do a whole lot of maintenance for $27,000.
Well,
I understand that at some point in time we do need to get rid of those Dodges. I don't know if there will be a long-term liability, but, you know, there needs to be some incentive for our patrol officers to take care of what they have.
Correct.
You know, one of the things that was brought out in the letters that you got was, you know, officers leaving their patrol vehicle dirty, not cleaning out the trash, not filling them up. They're just not taking personal responsibility for the vehicles. One of the things that I thought about, you know, if I don't know how many traffic accidents our police officers have been involved in the last 5 years, but I know we've totaled at least one vehicle. We've done serious damage to one or two others. If they get stuck driving a piece of crap because they can't take care of it, then so be it. It's just like your teenager, all right? If they know that crap's coming out of their pocket, if they go out there and tear it up, they'll pretty much take care of it. And if they know that these two vehicles are kind of on their last leg, but they're going to have to drive them for another year, maybe they'll take a little bit better care of them. And that will give us another... What was it, $54,000?
Well, and then under 40-30, it ties directly in if we do not replace the vehicles with small equipment.
Right.
Because that includes
right.
bars,
right.
striping.
Well, yes, and there was $27,000 in there.
You've got to look at the additional expenses. I didn't even touch that.
That's $27,000
right.
budgeted, and that's just part of it
right.
for small equipment.
Don't get it wrong. By no means do I want our ETA times, our route times to a call within Shore Acres to be late. But... yet there's got to be some level, just like out at the plants or anywhere else, where you say, well, this is your vehicle, this is the one you're operating, you've got to take care of it, you're back or whatever, you're responsible for it. You know, actually, the first thing they teach you when you go through patrol school is when you go through vehicle maintenance, actually go through checking your tires, your jack, your fire system. Actually, if you look on our daily log, there's a section on the bottom of it that says, did you check all these things? Oil, yes, sir, we sign off on it. Oil, tires, everything. You check off on it, and it says that you said that car's good. So if you get to the scene and you don't have that, or you have a flat, well, guess whose fault that is? That's your own fault. You should have checked it.
You guys ever get spot checked? Did anybody come back around and audit?
Not in my 5 years.
Okay.
But that there again, that is a thing that should, and that's not
sounds
just
like something there
talking uniform. But I mean, we don't want to get into that. I mean, in general fact though, you're saving quite a bit when the overall picture of doing the
PD. Anybody else have anything about PD? And I think the officers will be able to function with this, live with this. I don't think we're crippling them.
Just as a as
we're
a
not adding to more
overtime. Overtime is not strictly business here in the city. That overtime does include court appearances and things and training and things of that nature.
So it's not like we can tell them knock it off.
Exactly.
Okay.
In the day-to-day operations, my directive to all the departments is overtime has to be authorized by the department.
That's what you say, the heads.
And usually it comes with justifications such as court appearance, training, something to that effect. But I didn't want you to think that the overtime is strictly just
from talking with
incurred overtime for unapproved reasons.
It's holiday. I mean, a police officer works the holiday. He's got overtime.
Yeah,
period.
Good example. Think about the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. We've got all the officers out there.
Sure. Well, hopefully we have a few on Tuesday, right? We're going to have.
So, yeah,
you don't want to get out in the neighborhood.
Right. But I mean, in general, though, the overtime, you never know what can happen. Also, if someone needs to go to class, that class sometimes may need 2 or 3 days for to get the hours in. You have someone pick up the difference.
Yeah, I think we have to anticipate a certain amount of overtime for every department.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get a water main break on a weekend, have to call guys in.
Particularly
we
with
have to,
positions
have to pay removed. Them overtime.
There's going to be.
There's going to be some inherent overtime in any position in the city. We want to. Naturally, we don't want to encourage more overtime than necessary, but at the same time, we have to budget for the fact
that there's just simply
going to be some.
Well, and this is, I know this is a jump, but since we do, and it kind of gets confusing when you've got a parks person and a sewer person and a water person and the utility people, and they all kind of work together.
Yeah, and they overlap.
But this is something, and I talked to David Sutton about this, and he's okay with it. When we start getting that water pressure from the drop system in, we've got a lot of people who have these 2-inch cast iron pipes that have been buried in their backyards or front yards for eons. And as that pressure comes up, we're going to have to get ready for the sprinklers and the geysers. It's going to be substantial. And the amount of overtime that we could be incurring is going to be substantial. So I asked David if he thinks the guys.
Are we talking about from the meter to the house?
I'm talking about the city side.
Oh, the city side.
We've got a 2-inch coming into our meter, which is really kind of scary. And especially, I know the boosters are only supposed to turn on in case of a fire hydrant, but if we get enough leaks in the city when the pressure gets enough, you never know, that booster may go, oh, there's a fire, and we could have pipes jumping out of the ground, literally. And we may need to go into 2 shifts on public works. That would avoid overtime if we do 2 shifts. And we rotate them out by giving an incentive of, let's
by
say, 75
shifts,
cents,
talking about putting one
75
person
cents
on each
to
shift.
A dollar for night, and then have them rotate out. We would save $14,724 a year. And that includes the increase of giving them 75 cents per hour if you work night. But that's $14,700, and you've got 2 shifts. Because otherwise, guess what happens? A water main breaks at night. Somebody gets up. They're on overtime. And they come look at it, and they go, yep, that's broken. Tape it off. We'll fix it in the morning. Well, you just pay them an overtime for that. Whereas if you have 2 shifts, you're not paying that overtime. But it is, by the time you add up all of the overtime pay annually that we are paying now is over $16,000.
What scares me with that is I wish I had a crystal ball and put more clinics. But I mean, you're projecting what you think may happen, and that's a big cost expense. I mean, I got a guy sitting over in the middle of the night eating Fig Newtons and watching TV or driving around. I mean, I see your point. But you know, if you let the mice out, they're going to play.
Yeah.
And then you're paying for somebody to be running up and down the street. Then what scares me on top of that, the next thing is you run into, well, I'm not saying this would happen, but sure enough, you get an employee that's not the right employee, and he runs a vehicle into a car or has a wreck, or he's not here when we call. There are multiple things, but I mean, I see your point, but I'm real worried about that, putting someone in, you know. Now, if our city was the size of LaPorte, I could see that.
Right.
But Shore Acres, I just don't know if I can flip that one. That one, that ship might sink a little with me. I don't know.
Coming from an industrial setting, my background is, we have found over the years, and we've tried every imaginable.
Well, this is Michael for being 15 years of Pasadena Pasadena water manager.
I understand that. I've got 31 years in a chemical plant. We've done all this stuff. We've put people on shift. We've had multiple shifts, and the productivity on those off shifts is next to nothing.
You just don't get it.
So you're paying them their full wages to come out and, as he so eloquently put it, sit on their butt and eat Fig Newtons.
Well, we will end up having an increase
and
in
the
overtime.
You have a good point, but let's look at this one. So you have that problem. Eventually, this area, those problems are going to be fixed. It may cost you up front a little bit right now. But after a while, then you're going to go back and have to switch everything back around and tell them the changes happening.
Well, what they're doing now is just clamping. And they fixed one across the street. They clamped one last week. It was dry for 2 days. And then literally, there's 2 inches of pipe. They had to come back out and put another clamp. And that's the fourth time they've been on this one line. So that line is like clamp, pipe, all the way across from my front yard. So
you were willing to take $1,000 out for the contingency for what if. Why not add some more into the contingency for the what if overtime?
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm trying to find. Do we have enough overtime?
Right.
So Public Works overtime,
I believe that they've got a contingency of $8,000.
Yeah, 76.
I did actually.
What page that was? An aged infrastructure. We're going to pressurize the lines, and we're anticipating a surge in not necessarily emergency, but emergency repair.
Right.
Once that
and that was kind of part of my thinking too, with the two shift, and maybe it won't work. Or if it gets to a crisis, then we may have to do it, because we're still buying that water from the port, whether it's repaired right then or if it waits till the morning. So if you multiply that times out with the city, is if you've got somebody that can actually fix it, then that's also another savings, because we're still paying for that water.
I would expect that the manager of that department, if the demand for resources becomes large enough to require transitioning into shifts in order to make those repairs, that he would be efficient and effective enough to make that decision to, you know, balance overtime versus normal shift work. Right. And should he choose to split it out because of
directors,
the excess demand.
Yes. So water contingency, I see that nothing has been sent, and yet you're telling us about actual repairs going on. Are they getting pulled out of this water, out of this 639170?
No, they're coming out of general supplies.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's the 624570.
That's the one that was set at 60 that I took down to 30.
Mm-hmm. See, I put it down at 45.
And I think when I asked Mr. Sutton and Mr. Stahl about this, if we got past the 30, would this be reason to declare an emergency and put more funds into it? And I think the answer was yes, so that's why I left it at a 30.
I went to 45 on it.
Yeah, everybody was a little worried about cutting it down as much as I cut it down.
But, I mean, should be my.
Well, we certainly don't want to get caught with our pants around our ankles. We need to anticipate we do need to anticipate there's going to be some of this because we, you know, past experience tells us that we're going to have some of it. Now, how extensive it's going to be, nobody knows.
You can go from 3,000 to 25,000.
I think the 60,000 is large, and I think it can come down some, whether we say 30, 40, 45, I don't, you know.
Are we pretty much in agreement, though, we're not on that department? We're not doing a new truck.
Yes.
20 grand right there.
Yes.
And we've spent 50,000 to date, or and by end of year, we're going to spend 50.
I do like Rick's idea of putting that Explorer back in service and giving it to the water department.
I agree.
So,
David, what would it take to, what's wrong with the Expedition? Now, does it need brakes, tune-up, or what else wrong with it? Anything?
Actually, I think when it was taken out of service, it was in operational condition. It needs a battery now, but it had gotten to where the maintenance was real high on it.
Yeah.
But it was in running, but saleable condition. Let's look at it. And
it helps them or it doesn't. You know, if it,
we're not if out.
If
other it, than
you know, if it's up and dies,
right.
Sorry, we tried to give you something.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's real reasonable. But it's service. It's a different kind of service, too. It doesn't need the hard braking and the.
Right, it's not going to get that chasing vehicles. And you know, I'm talking about just smooth driving, so, okay.
It's going to be putting around the city.
Looking back at the 60G45, we're talking about reducing this 60. We spent 50 this year, 50K.
Without any increased water
pressure. Right, and so
that's my
a good portion of that 50 was driven by the road work that we were doing, and we had to relocate water lines for them, and they broke some
so
water
we were,
lines.
We were performing activities that are not anticipated next year.
That's correct.
Bottom line.
Right, so we're changing one activity for another.
Yep. Yeah. You know, the information
so
I
45 get, might be an okay number.
When I gathered information, according to Sutton, you had quite a few areas you had to move,
yes,
repair. That's why I was thinking, well, you know, you did it 50. You know, I mean, if you go out 45, you
I can live with 45 on that.
I don't want to get too low, but we can trim a little.
Yeah, it's a.
I mean.
It's an educated guess, but
we owe $16 trillion in the United States. I'm sure we can.
So when you say 45, is it reducing by 45, or the final number be 45? Because
we're
reducing to 45.
45 is the number.
45 is the number.
We're putting 15 more than what I reduced.
Yeah, it's not like his number is a subtraction.
Right.
So you're subtracting 15.
So it's another. Okay.
So you're subtracting only 15.
I'm just trying to make sure the word.
For the record, that one makes me nervous, but we shall see. Yeah. But that's okay.
We got that 45K.
Minus. We're subtracting 45K from the number that's there. Is that not right?
No. We're subtracting 15.
Okay.
60, so
went
down to
I put a negative 15 with his negative 30, and I got a negative 45.
We're changing the number from 60 to 45.
Okay.
That's
good. Yeah. Sorry. Cut this from $60 down to 15.
Yeah. The other
bail margin,
okay.
Next one,
we talked about refuge. Would you guys be bothered to talk
about what?
Refuge? Trash.
Refuge?
Did I say I put a G on there.
Yes, you
yeah. Refuge. Yeah. Refuge. Some people hide in trash. Okay.
We put them to work.
So, two areas that I've heard about and thinking of even myself. One is with recycling. And I heard this from somebody that loves to recycle. And I'm like, was actually kind of surprised with this person that was really interested in the environment and recycling was like, I just bring mine down myself. And my thinking is people that really like that are going to do that. Regardless, and then they're saying I also see the truck kind of drive around and it's not really utilized, and so that's one, and I guess we could talk about that.
Wasn't that discussed when it was like a negative It basically paid for itself. I mean, we didn't...
Tell us, David.
It loses money.
Well, is it a money loser?
It isn't, because we charge for it.
Well, that's
so
what I thought.
If we're going to stop recycling, then we'll have to stop charging for recycling.
It balances. Oh,
and then we can just have that. Yeah, but then that money that the people are paying, that could be a $5 a month increase to start making up for the water that we're not really paying for individually. So don't just go, oh, well, citizens pay for it, therefore let's not worry about it. Why have them pay for something that's not being utilized? Right?
Do we have an idea, say, percentage or amount of households that actually recycle? Do we have they don't actually keep a list of the different, I know they hit them all, but how many people in the city really recycle?
We haven't done it recently, but we have done that. We've done that when we've applied for recycling grants, and we have to have a number.
Right.
And it's my recollection, and you did a grant, you remember it was like 10%, it was like 10 to 15% of all recycled materials. Some people put just paper out, some
right.
put all kinds of things out. And it's not necessarily consistent. Even though we recycle every week,
right.
some people will put it out once a month, and some will put it out every week, and
right.
some will put it out when the kids are home from college.
Well, that was one of the things that I was curious about, is that, you know, on recycling days, I've driven around, and I see more of it in our roads
uh-huh.
and people's yards than I do actually going in the trailer. Not that they're missing putting it in there. It's just they set it out the night for 2 days. I used to be able to set it out 3 or 4 days, in which, you know, think about it. But it is what it is. But that was one of the things I was mm-hmm. curious about, that and heavy trash pickup, which I'm sure we'll get into here shortly.
That is.
Okay. So the two things were on the same head. So I you know, there again, you know, like you said, it may offset each other, but it's something to look at, no doubt, because, I mean, if you're not looking at a large amount, now you'd say more like 35-40% of the folks. That's definitely something that's going to get my eyebrow. But you're talking about 10 to maybe 12%. You know, that's. We'll look at it. I'm sorry, go ahead, Steve.
And the other is the heavy pickup. I think heavy pickup is good. I like it. I'm a big proponent of it. I think we're getting abused. And maybe if we heavy picked up once a quarter, we would be meeting something.
I disagree. I'll stand on that one.
Once a month might be, you'll have a lot more sitting around than you want.
Well, Matt's
explanation
in the letter.
Well, aren't we doing once a month now?
Yeah.
We're doing the first Monday of every month.
Right.
The mayor's explanation in the newsletter, it needs to be something that's reinforced.
Correct.
Monthly, bi-monthly something, because that's why we blew this budget, because contractors were putting stuff out there, homeowners were having somebody cut it down and move it out there. I mean, it was just
we've got to make sure
people cleaning lots that don't live here that aren't paying for the service.
There's a lot of stuff that gets out there that shouldn't go there, and then you know it. Unfortunately, you do. Some people don't remember very much. Sometimes you have to put the newsletter out every time, like the mayor did. Basically, remind them, don't forget first Monday. Going to have that here. Because if you get it once a quarter, we're going to have a mess out there everywhere.
Do you think at this point, because we didn't used to have this in the same way, right?
Right.
And we didn't have this mess. This was a way to get rid of Ike, right? Clean up after Ike.
Right.
At some point, we're cleaned up after Ike. And so I kind of think of the pre-Ike days, and we weren't that trashy in the city.
Well, it replaces the clean up green up, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what this
yes.
does.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know,
right, which was once,
green up,
once or twice.
And which was only tree and another foliage. It didn't include any of the other.
Right, so this quarterly actually would be double and material wise more material. So if we did go once a quarter, and maybe a quarter makes you squeamish, let's talk about it. But that pre Ike. You know, at some point we've got to say, yeah, we really did get rid of the Ike stuff. And the stuff that hasn't been gone, those are abandoned properties more than I didn't get my old refrigerator out to the street yet after 5 years. And so...
And just as a point I wanted to make, although it is monthly, it's paid on a volume basis.
Weight.
It's based off weight, not necessarily pressure.
Well, then... Maybe this. If we went every 2 months, partly I'm thinking save on costs. The weight will go down because people just won't be doing as much. There'll be less abuse. Lower frequencies allow us to better monitor and enforce because we're not once a month having to go out and run around and make sure. And then lower frequencies also give less opportunities for contractors to be, you know, people are going to want to do the work on this month, get it out of here. No, don't, you know, I'll pay for you to haul it off. We're not going to try to sneak it in. You know, so less opportunities.
I appreciate what you're saying. I do. I also don't want to lose the beauty of our city. You know, the whole idea is to keep our city looking choice, but I think
you're going to have people that are going to leave that stuff out there on the street for months.
And that's
if we don't get it picked up, and like I said,
take away.
We're paying for it by volume.
Right.
Okay, mm-hmm. So whether we pick it up every week, once a month, once a quarter, okay? What are the people going to do to go out there and trim their trees or do work in their yard? I've got stuff sitting out in front of my house right now waiting for next week because I got busy this past weekend. Okay, if you'd waited for 2 months, it's still going to be sitting out there. I'm not going to haul it off and pay again because I'm already paying for this in the budget. So I'm not going to.
It's a difference in mentality. The thing about it is, some people. Care, you know, you drive down Miramar or down certain streets, you know, you can really tell. It almost looks like there's an HOA there because of the way people are keeping their yards in their house. Yeah. And about it is, the other people, some of them, and it's not talking down to any of our citizens, but I don't mean what I'm saying. Just they have a different mentality. It's like, yeah, well, I'm going to go ahead and spend it out for a week.
I can tell you that people take stuff. It's amazing what people. I got rid of a full size piano, doing regular trash. And the way I did it is I
put it out on Saturday.
I broke it out into neat little pieces and set it out. If you set your trash out neatly, it's amazing. The trash people look at it. Well, I'm just telling you.
I mean, that's a good thing. That's a
problem. You know, we know where this ballooned from. With the houses that are being built, we had contractors that were out there abusing this. If we monitor this, I think that will eventually go away and. You know, maybe we need to set fines in place.
Well, that's why I go back to the code enforcement thing.
You know, but no, something, you know, we waited for years and years to have heavy traffic pick up around here. And I totally support.
Well, if ultimately, if picking it up less frequency isn't going to drop this number.
Yeah, that's not the point I'm trying to make. Even though the frequency changes, the volume may not.
As long as we'll keep up on policing that frequency.
Well, and I agree. I think you're absolutely right, Mike, that maybe some good enforcement and may have to sit there.
Have had some of those challenges with some of the abuses that were in place, and those conversations have taken place. That was also one of the reasons, the driver for the re-notification of the rules and such. The Public Works Director does do a drive-by to make sure that abuses aren't taking place. And we won't catch them all, but they have enforced it in the past, and I expect them to continue that in the future.
You get people dropping trash on other people's yard and drive off.
Been there, done that. You get home from work and you're going, what the devil?
So.
All right.
Well, when I start filling up contractors' roll-off bins, well,
yeah,
they're going to be pissed.
Okay, we'll get back to the recycling. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep recycling. Is it politically correct?
I don't think we need to have our guys out there doing it because there's other things they could be tending to. You know, ditches and things such as that. Whereas we have the facilities here at City Hall, for goodness sake, it's not like people are having to drive 100 miles out of the way.
I don't know how Deer Park does their recycling, but I know they have a center that.
I mean,
a drop off center.
I think that's just right up
this. I mean, if we have.
Do we have the opportunity to have a recycling? Didn't we have it years ago? Wasn't there one here? Public Works recycling bin or something?
Just for paper. And right now it's at Bioforest, and as soon as they finish that storm drain and we put the slab in there, those recycling containers come back over here.
So
that's just for paper. And
could we get it to where if we had two dumpsters, one for each, instead of us picking it up, they drop it there.
But then we've got to haul it off, though.
Well, no, I mean, we still get paid. I mean, I'm talking about the offset there still. The only difference is we wouldn't have drivers going and picking it up. You'd actually have the citizens bring it, drop it off in the container. Well, one, hopefully that would keep them from letting it sit out there for days and drop it on the ground. And two, saving us gas, maintenance, and all the other things come along with it. But, I mean, that's just, I'm just shooting in the dark.
How much money are we talking about here? I mean, we're...
What's the dollars and cents?
What's the figure on the budget?
It's not broken.
Oh, it's not part of...
It's not broken out anymore because we took it in-house, but it is. It's going to be roughly... that can't be right. Yeah, it's going to be about $18,000 a year.
Is that and there's a revenue component with that, correct?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, it's expense and a revenue reduction. Mm-hmm. Should that go away?
Thoughts, Bo?
And let people start paying for the water so that...
Now, if they do choose, because we only have the paper component with the current, container, if we add the other two, the glass and the plastic, is that a contract renegotiation then? Or we would have to bid that service out to find out what that expense would be?
This particular recyclable only take paper. Mm-hmm. So we would have to come up with another source to do the... and it would be a mixed waste stream. We wouldn't necessarily have a container for every type of recyclable. Right. But right now that's what they're doing is mixed because there's virtually no value in recyclables. So you have to pay someone to haul it off. Mm-hmm. But the only exception to that is aluminum and paper. And paper is very small.
What was the story you told me The story you told me about... Having the people put the cans.
Yeah,
on.
That's aluminum.
Somebody else picks those up.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what happened. We did recycling. We did two types of recycling in Nassau Bay years ago. One, we took the green out of the collection, so we took grass clippings and hauled that separately. That gave us a reduction in our solid waste cost because that went to mulching. The other thing we did is we looked at recycling, and there was no market for anything except for aluminum. So we decided we would just do aluminum collection. We wouldn't charge for it, just do aluminum collection. And so we did the first Wednesday of the month and had people put aluminum out. By the third month, we stopped picking up. Well, there was lots of aluminum being recycled, but people were coming through and picking it up. And of course, they attained a recyclable because that's how they get their money. And so it just became knowledge. And so, yeah, we had a fleet of cars who arrived and pickup trucks on Wednesday to pick up our aluminum.
Well, you said you had, what was it, 13 to 15% of participation, what you thought you had?
I think that's about right.
Just leave it alone.
I would say that. Do we have any idea, we got kind of a rolling total of where we're at right now? I mean, does anybody have anything that's... We've pretty much covered the whole budget with each person having some kind of input on it. And if we had kind of a rolling total, I think we'd probably find that we could probably live with that.
For now.
For this year.
Yeah, I hate to trim in too many more places, but it's going to be a good dent, man.
How do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time, baby.
Well, and this, we've made good progress thus far. And this doesn't have to be in. But this is, there's something I wanted to bring up in parks. Several things. And I know we've got big park supporters here, and surprisingly, one of them was in complete agreement with me. And it's just something that I want to bring to the council's attention. And then I have a question. I just want to give you a point of reference. First of all, who is Mr. Ingram? I don't think I've ever met the gentleman.
He's in our Public Works, actually. It's in Public Works. Eric.
Okay.
Well, he was brought to city council and introduced.
Is he one of the ones? Okay. Because I get confused between he and then Mr. I guess Ruiz. Is that correct?
Yes, John Ruiz.
Okay. But.
It's Mutt and Jeff. You couldn't confuse those
two. But this is just something that is of concern. And this is once again going back with historical numbers. You know, the 11-12 budget for public works was $40,400 even. And we're looking at a proposed budget of $129,117. That's a whopping increase. And if you look at it, there's really little that you can cut. Now, I do believe that what Darlene Bates had with the donation, the directed contributions, I have a feeling that's going to be a lot more than $500, which will help. But then if I look at things just like general supplies, general, 624540 year to date, $3,549 projected in a year, $4,500, but we've got $20,750 budgeted.
And I took $8,000 out of that.
And I had, I.
And there's another $12,000 for some equipment that's still in it.
So you're talking about 624540 supplies here.
Correct.
And it's got, let's see, they, what are they projected, 45, the 135, and the 2750?
That just seems, I mean, the $8,000 for the playground fall zone, I mean, it almost seems like we could nip that a little bit.
Don't let children do
well, I love children. I do. But
let me say this, and I agree with that, too, when I started this. But then I went back, and I go back, and I listened to past meetings in my head when I wasn't the council, but sat out there and listened, and in meetings where I've been on council, and there's unsafe equipment. We put a lot of band-aids on equipment,
yeah. Right?
And so there's $12,000 in there that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was for additional new equipment, safer equipment.
It's just we haven't gotten any firm commitment from the Port of Houston Authority to help out on this thing. So, you know, we need to provide for our citizens something.
Yeah, our kids, you
our
know,
kids are important. And,
right. And it's just not our kids, it's neighbor kids that come over and people say, you know, we want, I mean, people come over with their kids and start looking around the area, they start liking the area. That makes us want to move here. And that's the whole idea. That's where we're going with this, is get more people living here, you know. Mm-hmm. People, you know, so that's, I know it seems high, but when it comes to that,
That's why I left the $12,000 in. Now I took the $8,000 out for the rubber mulch, the fall zone material, and left the pea gravel in. I played on pea gravel as a kid.
You know,
I'll
put sand down.
I'm lucky.
We had hard dirt.
Yeah.
I mean, back then we had.
Actually, we didn't have playground. We had a couple ball fields across the street.
That was that $30,000 went to
$45,000. Okay.
The other thing that kind of just surprised me.
We're at $394,658.
94
people. That's pretty significant.
That's just a number.
Yeah, if you could see something that was glaringly obvious, I you know, would agree to consider. But right now, I think we've done a pretty good job of getting this budget down to something more manageable that we can live with, that will not require a tax increase. And I think with the buy-ins from the departments, I don't think any of the citizens that be coming to the meeting on the 14th will have cause to really. Complain too much about.
Yeah, you know, that it's awesome that, you know, all the council members took the willingness of time to talk to the department heads. I think that makes a difference instead of them just feeling like they've been slapped in the face. And, you know, I think that us talking to them.
It creates ownership.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that. Budget. You know, sudden, I got to give them credit to do. When I asked him, I said, just give me no BS. I really didn't know, you know, can you do that in a call? Can you do it? And, you know, you bet. We'll make it happen. He said, we've got to do what we got to do. You know, that was, you know, and I don't expect Chief Massey. I know he's interim. I don't want to put a lot on his shoulders because he's got other things to do. You know, Sutton really, he stepped up and said it, you know. He said he'd do what it takes to make it work. So when you get that, like you said, he's got ownership in it. You know, you're going to get productivity out of him more. His morale's going to stay up. It's not going to be good. That means a lot.
Well, and I think, too, it sets a tone for a year from now. We're not done yet. We've still got work to do, and I think it sets a tone.
We might be able to give you a little more what you wanted,
but
we still have to be cautious in how we address each issue.
Yeah, because we just really need to keep, first and foremost, a lot of people are having some serious shock just with a 5% flood increase in their FEMA. Wait until next year, it's going to be 20. And now, hopefully, are we getting somewhere with our discount? I know FEMA and FEMA are up there. Are we getting close?
Hopefully.
Ball's in their court.
So I had to pay mine last month. And
Steve, you got
anything else? Yeah. And this has more to do with, I'm not necessarily looking to slash. I want to make sure our money's been spent well and we're getting a good bang for the buck. Mowing. Contract services. I'm looking at GF8 and it's item 63-69-40, contract services.
That's the new contract for mowing lawn.
Right, that mowing. Okay.
Instead of the people that would show up here, there, and yonder.
Okay, so we spent $10,000 for a previous vendor that was doing
us
some
really good rate. Remember we discussed it.
And now it's going to 28. I'm not complaining about that at all. I want to make sure that for that 28.
They're going to give us the same services that we contracted for before.
Better.
Probably better service because there's more people to do the work.
So it's going to be more with the mentality of what they've cut looks good as opposed to they just...
But it was almost $10,000 less than the other three bids.
Yes.
If you remember.
It is a parity with what we had before. The contract is significantly more, but we had put in the budget previously to be able to accommodate that when we no longer get the sweetheart deal. This is an additional cut, but it does leave about $2,000, if I'm not mistaken, above what the contract rate is. And that's for the finish work. And that's what I talked about that's supplementary. Our mowing contract is just plain Jane cut grass.
Okay.
But there are about four times a year when we want to dress up for a regatta or for a function or for whatever. When I have them come and mow the frontages of the vacant lots on Schroeder's Boulevard.
And go in a little bit.
Probably seen us do that. Mm-hmm. And then we edge the curbs, both the median curbs and the outside curbs. But frankly, I just didn't feel like we could afford to do that with every mowing. And so it was, you know, it's done on an ad hoc basis.
Okay, four times.
It's about four times.
And that four times was $3,000? $3,000 got you four times?
I got about $2,000 in there.
So $500 a time.
Well,
and here's why I'm thinking: increase that and get a little bit more often.
You know, I'm sure
that's where we're going to go. Really,
yeah.
We haven't really experienced what this new contract is going to give for us and what kind of work they're going to. You know, I mean,
well, the services that
we're going
to provide is going to be identified in the scope of work, and if it doesn't include the edging,
it won't.
Then it'll just be mowing. And if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't include all the detail work. For this particular scope, is that correct?
That's correct.
Not on a weekly basis, but...
Well, that's why the extra money...
That's why the extra money is in there for these special occasions.
Well, it's not just special occasions. When it starts to look particularly shabby, you know...
Look at that, they go and fix.
We pull a little extra money in there to get it back to where it needs to be. It's kind of like the street sweeping. We're contracted for 6 sweepings a year. Would I like to have them do it every month? Yes. You know, but there's a limit of how much money we're willing to spend. And they only do where the curbs are at on Shortridge Boulevard. So we have all those pine trees, and they litter the street up. I'm like, get those out of there. We can get whatever level you want to pay for. Exactly. We can sweep weekly, and we can edge every mowing, and we can. And I'm not adverse to putting some money back in.
A pretty good point of contention with just up and, you know, I certainly understand the point you're trying to make, but, you know, we went through this several months ago to get this new contract, and I don't know that we've really seen We haven't really had a good time to evaluate it.
It's very recent since they came on board.
They moved today. Right. I saw the meeting for the life insurance building.
So,
so maybe we should have some amount of money in a contingency fund. I just ran around saying get rid of all the contingencies. But if we're looking to try to become a premier city, if we figured out, hey, we did a lot of cutting here, we don't need trucks, stuff like that, but are there some things, you know, if we get people to move in and we've got lots that are over, well, that's a little bit different, but I mean, there are some cosmetic things. It's not mowing a ditch every month, but it's maybe clearing a lot.
I appreciate what you're saying. I totally agree with you and understand.
But I think we can look at, you know, this is a,
but what is it, we have a three-year contract? I mean, doing what if we don't have money to do anything with them?
We have a two-year contract, three-year contract.
It's 1 year.
It's 1 year, but they said for the 3 years they wouldn't increase the price.
Yeah.
You know, but... You know, next year, when the contract comes along, we could always look at, you know, is it worth, you know, next year's budget?
There's value there.
Is there enough value to add more contingency in the next budget? Mm-hmm. When contingencies are all well and good, but, you know, contingencies are usually for emergency causes, not...
If it's there, they're going to spend it.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we want to put it in.
Right.
We need to either up it from 28,000 up it to 30,000, or we need to say we're going to run with it like we've got it. There's already a couple of thousand in it. Let's spend that couple of thousand, see how it performs. Next year, if we decide, it may not work great, let's throw a little more money into it. Or maybe we say, let's pull it out.
Let me.
I think we need to not put it in the contingency.
Well, I'm just calling it something that allows us some leeway to.
I think we've proved that we can
balance the budget. So now I want to make sure that we didn't just do the opposite, where we're so confined that we can't actually.
I didn't actually touch that part. I left that part alone. But the only other thing to do would be to bump it from 28 to 30 or whatever we came up with. But
I think we've left ourselves a little bit of flexibility.
I think we're right.
I don't have a problem going back to the contractor and asking them what that change would look like to that scope of work, depending on what council's
I guess the two things that bother me is you go down the thoroughway and we got some lots where people just aren't taking care of them, so they get really grown up, and I know that you can't recoup that money, but it just makes me wonder, could we go in with one of those big things that just at least cut it down to size so that you don't have a beautiful home that looks like it's about to get taken over by the neighbor's overgrown weeds? You know, be able to level that once a year or something and put a lien on that property. Yeah, you collect it when they go to sell it. Well, then what would it cost to just, gosh, I don't want to mow into people's properties, but...
Well, I mean, it hadn't really changed, so the money's still there.
Well, you're still teaching your kids, though, right? Get them out there.
Actually, that's the other thing. It's over a year ago, we talked about doing something.
So there's also an issue with code enforcement on that. I mean, I've got a vacant lot right next to me, and I have to call the chief once a year and force the owner to go out there and, you know, he'll bring a big old tractor out there, and he'll go chop all those things down. They're over. We've got... There's reeds over there on that lot that are over 10 feet tall right now, okay?
So.
And I have to complain,
I think it's a code
enforcement thing. It is code enforcement.
Usually people will do it.
And that is one of the challenges that we're looking to improve upon is working towards effectively managing our code enforcement.
Bottom line is
we have started the processes to ensure that the due process is being taken care of appropriately.
We've made cuts. We protected people. This is all great. Now I look to the city and go, okay, how do we make sure we're a premier city? How do we keep it looking nice? And so I'm just wanting to make sure we have the leeway in the next year to do something if we need to do something, once.
There's numbers now.
Okay.
We're still not balanced, but we're close. There's one other item, and it's, this is the under administration, the 60... $370.10. And that's our little stipend, because I know we're all doing this for $25 a month. I would like for council and mayor, I know you're getting a big $35 a month. I, for one, don't want it. And, I mean, I know it sounds like a drop in the bucket, but that would be an extra $1,920 a year to the city if we just did away with that.
Look, I believe that's an ordinance change as well. So there's more than just
spending over. You need to make an ordinance change?
Yeah, now I'm going to receive one.
I've got two in cash on my counter.
I'm going to lose half of them. But you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to take that right around and just funnel it to parks or something like that.
You know, and I've asked that question about
your water bill. That you
right, but they'll take it from me if I can't.
I've actually asked that the last time I had jury duty on how do I get that $6 back to the city, and it was so complicated.
They look at you like you're a strange yeah. person for even asking.
So that's $6 from the last.
Well, let me ask you a question.
When
we make an ordinance change to do that, can we just funnel that money into the lawn service or something?
You just do that through the budget process.
Okay.
Yeah, just do okay. that in your budget.
Got it. What was the total? $394?
$628.
Can we trust that number, though, with everything going up and down? I mean,
I think it's really close.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. With the it incorporates both Bose and the adjustments to Bose numbers and then what we went through. And I can read them all back to you if you want to go through them.
I just feel better seeing it
on the spreadsheet. Would you feel more comfortable if the changes were made and then another draft sent out for review?
Oh, yeah,
I'd do that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
And knowing that, I'd be comfortable with just seeing that.
And then we can vote on it next Monday, right?
And if we've got any questions, you in the interim.
Absolutely.
I feel like we've made a lot of
progress. And the citizens showing up listening. You know, it's hard to sit there and say something.
But we appreciate you doing it.
David looks on over here and just that little look he got.
There's going to be an $8,000 swing in there. One of these items, you added $4,000, and I went through them all as cuts, but you added $4,000 to line item 6220-30 for vehicle maintenance.
For the truck.
Yeah.
That's
right. So, did you drop the $15,000?
I did.
Okay. I think we did well.
I think so.
Do we need a motion to adjourn, or we took no action?
I have. Let's just finish up. I have 6370-10, which was what we were just talking about. Council expenses. What was the resolution of that? All of that money is not.
We left it alone. We left it.
That was going to be
okay.
No.
Okay.
We'll wait to council.
All right.
Put it on the agenda.
Make a motion to adjourn.
For the workshop, do we need a motion, or do we just adjourn?
No, you actually need a motion.
Very right. That's what I thought. Second. We have a motion at the top of the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. We adjourn. Thank
you all. Good job, Dad.